All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. The message this evening. Hebrews, chapter 12. I want to speak to you tonight on Esau, about the character Esau. And we're going to do that out of the New Testament, not the Old Testament. Even though his story is told in the Old Testament. But I will refer to the story, which I'm going to take for granted that you know, but we will read a few things in the book of Hebrews here about Esau and Jacob and what happened between them, and then the message. So let's begin reading in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. And the Bible here says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. All right, so notice the author of the book says that Esau was a profane person. Now, I preached a message several years ago on that word, profane. A fane is a threshold. It is a doorway. Did you know that? That's what a fane, F-A-N-E, fane is. Pro means before. It means I'm for. All right. If you're pro something, you are for something. Okay. And so our English word profane means that the doors are wide open. All right. If the doors are wide open, nobody's guarding the doorway. You with me on that? And if nobody's guarding the doorway, then anything can get in. And that is what makes a person profane. For instance, we talk about profanity. Okay, somebody using profanity. And there is not anything any more disgusting than to hear somebody using profane language. All right, listen, I'm not trying to be unkind here. I can be unkind without trying, but any idiot can curse. All right? Any idiot can use profanity. It does not take an intelligent person to curse. Any idiot can do it. Where it takes intelligence is to be able to formulate ideas, thoughts, and words using the King's English. Okay? And so that's, God says that Esau was a profane person. He left the door open. And when you leave the door open, anything can happen. All right? So Esau was a profane person. Now, what made the writer say that Esau was a profane person? Well, look at what it says. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, what was his birthright? Well, that was his spiritual connection. That was his spiritual well-being, okay? That was given to him from his daddy, and his daddy from his daddy. And you remember that Abraham got it from God, okay? God said, to Abraham, I will bless thee, and I will multiply thy seed, and I will make a great nation of you. All right, so Abraham passed that along to Isaac, and then Isaac passed that along to his boys, and Esau was the firstborn, and he was to get it. But he forfeited that birthright. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. For one bowl of soup. For the flesh. He left a door open and lost his birthright. Verse 17. It says, "For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Now, I want to take these two verses and this story, and I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, facing weak moments. Facing weak moments. I don't suppose there is a better illustration of a person who in a moment of weakness made a decision that so completely uprooted his life and changed everything, as did happen to Esau all those many years ago. So let's think about facing weak moments. Let's pray together and then the message. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the blessings of having a Bible that we can look at and learn eternal truths. And Father, I pray that you will bless tonight and speak to our hearts. I ask for your Holy Spirit to just take control of the service and help the message to be a blessing to every person. I especially pray for our teenagers and our young people, and I pray that you will help them to see the importance of guarding the doorway of their heart and not to allow the door to be wide open just for anything and everything to come charging in. Father, I pray that you will just help every person to listen, but especially our teenagers tonight. Lord, just bless us. We need your blessing. We need your hand of blessing in the service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it's Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob. We could very easily have said Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Esau was the firstborn. They were twins, you'll remember. And when you read their story, it is very clear, very obvious, that although they were twin boys, they were as unlike as they could possibly be. They were different as day is from night. And as the boys grew, it became obvious to Isaac, their daddy, that the promises that had been given to him from Abraham centered in Jacob and not Esau. Although Esau was the firstborn, it became obvious that God meant for Jacob to be the recipient of the blessings and the birthright of their family. Now, on this particular day, of which we are reading about here in the book of Hebrews, Esau had been out on one of his hunting expeditions. He was a man of the woods. He was an outdoorsman. Jacob was a mama's boy, and he hung around the house and didn't get out much. But Esau was a hunter and would go on these excursions. And when we pick up the story, he is coming home from one of his trips. I want you to see him in your mind's eye coming toward the house. He has an ibex laying over his shoulders that he has taken in his hunt. He is tired. He is sweaty. He is faint. And most of all, he is ravenously hungry. While still hundreds of yards from home, his nostrils caught the aroma of a pot of stew that Jacob was cooking. Smelling the savory stew, Esau came to his brother and said in a fit of passion, "Feed me now. I pray you, give me this red pottage that you're cooking. Give it to me right now. I'm faint and I'm going to die." Now, let me just stop right here and tell you, no, he wasn't. All right? But he was a man of his passion, ruled by his passions, and he wanted it, and he wanted it right then and right there. Now, the crafty Jacob, the sneaky Jacob, saw his opportunity here to take advantage of his brother and use his own nature against him in the process. And Jacob told him, "I will gladly give you a bowl of stew if you will give me your birthright in its place." Now, at that moment, the birthright was the farthest thing from Esau's mind. He wasn't thinking about tomorrow. He wasn't thinking about the day after that, or even the week after that, or even the month after that, or even the year after that. All he could think of was now, right now. All he wanted was that bowl of stew that Jacob was standing there stirring over the fire. And so Esau looks at his brother and says, "What profit is that birthright going to do me? Who cares anything about that or the future? I'm dying of hunger over here right now. So what good is a birthright? Take the birthright. If you want it, take it. Just give me a bowl of stew and give it to me right now." So Jacob made Esau swear to him that he would trade the birthright for a bowl of soup. And the scriptures tell us back in the book of Genesis that he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, folks, listen to me. This incident in the life of Esau shows us the danger of a man's weak moments. We see right here the danger of a person's weak moments. And this scripture warns us how much can be thrown away in just a moment of time, never to be recovered again. Now, that's the premise. You got that? All right, let me say that again. This passage of scripture shows us the danger of a person's weak moments, and it warns us of how much can be thrown away in just one moment of time, never to be recovered again. Now, notice a couple of general principles with me tonight. First of all, let's think about the strength of that weakest moment. The strength of that weakest moment. Folks, listen, I don't think Esau was just a man of mere sensuality who had no understanding or no appreciation at all of the importance of the birthright or of his father's family blessing. That cannot have been so, for we read afterward of the bitter remorse that gripped his heart after he gave it up. He certainly knew what the importance of that birthright and what it meant to him and to his family. And so we read here that how he was just torn apart after he did this, and how he carefully, with tears, tried to get Jacob to give the birthright and the blessing back to him. But Jacob, of course, would not do it. You see, his problem, think with me now, his problem was just that in a moment of temptation, he threw everything away. That was his problem. In just one moment of temptation, he threw it all away. You see, folks, he was just as strong as that weak moment when he became hungry and thirsty when he came in from the hunt. Don't forget, folks, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And a man's character is only as strong as the weakest link in that character. It is arresting and it is fascinating to remember that in the final analysis, we are judged and tested not by our excellencies, not by our so-called strong points, but by our weak points. The real trial will be the trial and test of your weak spot, of your weak moment. A battle line is just as strong as the weakest point or place in the whole length of that line. And folks, you can mark this down. The devil knows your weak places. He knows where to hit you, and he knows where to attack. Let me remind you that the devil did not come to the Lord Jesus and ask him to turn the stones into bread on the first day of the temptation, but the devil showed up on the 40th day of temptation when Christ was the most hungry. And notice that this exchange did not happen on Esau's first day out on the hunt. No, it happened when Esau was returning from the hunt, when he was his weakest, when he was the most controlled by his passions. On day one of the hunt, when Esau was heading out on a full stomach, it would not have mattered what Jacob was cooking over the fire. But on the last day, when he was coming home, it made all the difference in the world. You see, Jacob made the stew at just the right time to tempt Esau. And you can be assured the devil knows how and where to come at you. He knows exactly where to come. He knows how to get at you. He knows the time, and he knows the avenue. I mean, folks, listen, never a doctor knows his patient's body like the devil knows you and your weaknesses. Oh, he's got you pegged. You can be assured of that. Now, second thing I want you to consider. I want you to consider with me just a couple of weak moments. Let me just give you a couple of weak moments to think about and kind of connect them here to Esau. But there are many areas where we can get swept up in a moment of weakness. But let me give you just a couple. First, a weak moment can be caused by our appetites or our passions. That's what happened to Esau here. This is exactly what caused Esau to make such a horrible mistake. When his nostrils dilated with the savor of Jacob's boiling pot, he was willing, in the passion of his hunger, to sell his birthright. But folks, I have to wonder, how many since Esau have been tempted in the appetites of their flesh? And I'm telling you, the number is immeasurable. Noble and gifted souls in a single moment of appetite have cast themselves into the grip and vice of the devil because they forgot the future and they got lost in the right now. And they say to themselves, I've got to satisfy this appetite. I'm about to die. Just exactly like Esau said. And every person has got to learn to guard those weak moments in your flesh. How many a young lady, how many a young man have thrown away their futures by one instant of fleshly gratification? Oh, be careful. You better be careful, young people. Those weak moments could just ruin everything for you like they did for Esau. Let me remind you, it was the Apostle Paul who said that he had to keep his body under, lest I myself should become a castaway. He said, this is Paul talking. Did you hear what I said? This is Paul talking. And Paul said that I've got to keep my body under, lest I should become a castaway. That's a solemn statement, I think. And let me tell you something, folks. If a man like the Apostle Paul, a man so devoted, so strong, so self-denying, if a man like Paul had to guard his heart, how much more should each of us have to guard our hearts? A second weak moment is a moment when a person's greed is stirred. Oh, you got to be careful right there. I mean, it's amazing how just for the fear of losing a few dollars or for the sake of making a few dollars, folks will compromise with evil and will break their pledged word and risk putting a stain, a permanent stain, upon their conscience. Be careful how you allow those weak moments of greed to affect your life. You know, folks, there are some jobs that, I'll be honest with you, I just wouldn't do. I'm serious. If I couldn't come to church, I wouldn't do that job. Nah, that's just me. But I wouldn't do that job. If I couldn't go to church, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Well, why not? Well, I go to church. Well, we're going to pay you X amount of dollars. I say, yeah, but I got to stand before God one of these days. You better think about that. Be careful about greed. When I got excommunicated from college, I came home and had a hard time finding a job. It was during Jimmy Carter's heyday, and jobs just weren't there. And so there was a fella in our church, and he was a builder, and there were a bunch of us that he was planning on hiring for the summer, and we were all friends with his children, and so he had worked it out where several of us were going to work for him through the summer. Well, I needed a job in October, and so, you know, So I went to see him. I heard that. I went to see him, and he said, well, I tell you what. He said, if you will work for this amount, and I don't remember what the amount was, but it was peanuts. He said, if you will work for this amount an hour from now until August when you go back to school, he said, I will pay your school bill in full. Now, I made a terrible mistake in that I did not put it in a piece of paper and have him sign it. I trusted a Christian friend. And so I worked for him, and I put shingles on. I insulated houses. I put shingles on the roof. I did the framing and the concrete work for sidewalks and driveways. A lot of stuff. And when it came time to go to school, he said, sorry, but I just can't afford to pay what I said, told you I would pay. And I said, you lied to me. And he said, well, no, I intended to pay it. And I said, no, you didn't. You lied to me. And what happened? Well, friendships were destroyed. Fellowship with the church was ruined because I was not the only one that he did this to. Families were separated. His kids were my friends. And after that, those friendships were gone, not because I was bitter or wanted to make an issue out of it. That wasn't it at all. They were humiliated and embarrassed and ended up going somewhere else to church. And it was all for a few dollars. All for a few dollars. Folks, in a weak moment, he lied and he defrauded and he cheated. All for a few dollars. And that's sad. That's sad. A third weak moment is when fear suddenly creeps in. And I'm telling you, folks, fear can get you quicker than you can realize. A person can stand and face an entire a regiment of soldiers, but then flinch before and cower before the pointing finger of a scorner. You say, who are you talking about? Remember Peter? Well, let me remind you, folks, that when they were up on the Mount of Olives and Peter, James, and John were with the Lord, and they slept while he prayed. And then when the mob showed up, here come the temple guards with their swords and their staves. And let me remind you that it was the Apostle Peter who drew out a sword and smote off the ear of the servant of the high priest. I'm telling you, folks, that is a pretty good demonstration of bravery, if you want my opinion. Here were all of these soldiers, all of them armed, and there's little old Peter, and he pulls out a sword and tries to decapitate Malchus. That's bravery, folks. But then just a couple hours later, when he's standing out warming his hands at the fire while Jesus is inside getting interrogated, one look from a little maiden girl, a teenager, and Peter says, oh no, I don't know him. And he even cursed to try to convince them that he was not one of Christ's disciples. Art thou not also one of this man's disciples? And Peter swore an oath and denied that he even knew the Lord. You got to be careful. One little ounce of fear can just rise up in no time. Be careful. Be careful. You're liable to do something that you'll regret just with one ounce of fear. Then notice Esau's inevitable and bitter remorse. I want you to see that, folks. Esau's great cry and bitter cry came after he had found out that Jacob had cheated him out of the birthright and the blessing, and that his father now could not change his mind and would not revoke the blessing. You see, the decisions made in moments of weakness inevitably bring remorse. They always do. You better be careful. And the writer of the book of Hebrews here words this in an amazing way. He said that Esau found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He found no place. The loss of the birthright, the decision, a decision made in a moment of time, but one with devastating results, was only compounded when Esau realized that he had lost his daddy's blessing as well. And folks, don't miss the application of the story. Those weak moments where we make snap decisions, usually having to do with our sinful passions and desires, very often have irreversible consequences. 2 years ago, I think it was, at the Living Cross, I was standing right down here, and I looked up on Friday night, and the auditorium was just packed to the hilt. And I looked up and saw a young man who 22 years ago graduated from our school. He was, I really thought that this young man would go into the ministry. He had such a heart for souls. He worked on the buses, and I just knew that he would go into the ministry. He graduated from Carroll Christian Schools, and then immediately got a job. He got in with the wrong crowd. He dropped out of church and just disappeared. Just disappeared. And about 2 years ago, may have been 3 years ago now, I was standing right down here, and I looked up and I saw him standing in the doorway. Friday night, Living Cross. Down the aisle he came, and up the aisle I went. And when we came together, he reached out and grabbed me and hugged me. Big old tears were in his eyes as he pulled away. And he said, "Pastor, I know I've disappointed you. And I'm so sorry." He said, "I've disappointed myself." And I didn't know what to say. I just stood there kind of stunned. I certainly didn't expect that. He said, "Pastor, I'm so sorry. I know I let you down." And I'll be honest with you, folks, it broke my heart. And he started to lament the day that he followed his passions and walked away from God. And I stopped him and I said, do you not realize you can come back? I said, "Do you not understand? You can come back. You can come back. You're here now. Come back Sunday. Just come back. Anytime you want, you can come back." And he looked at me and he said, "I will, Pastor, I will." But you know what? He never has. He never has. And I'm sure he has wanted to come back. And he may have even tried to come back, but just cannot seem to find his way to do it. Oh, the bitter cry and lament and remorse that sin often brings. In a moment, in just one moment, he made that mistake. I know that sitting in this room right here tonight, there's a bunch of people that wish you could do a redo. You just wish you could go do it all over again, because you wouldn't make the same mistake again. You see the result. What could have been? Dear Christian, listen to me. Get your heart right with God now and stay that way. Make your mind right now. I mean, just make the turn right now and serve the Lord with your life. Whatever time you got left, give it to the Lord and let the Lord use it. You don't want to live the rest of your days regretting the decision made in a moment of weakness. Esau said, "What shall this birthright profit me? What good will it do me now?" Well, Jesus answered his question when Jesus said, "And what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, it was easy, real easy, for Esau in a moment to trade the blessing of the Lord for a bowl of soup. But it sure wasn't worth it, was it? It sure wasn't worth it. But notice here, and this is what I think the writer wants us to see. It was impossible, even with tears, to undo what he had done. It was impossible. You know, I was thinking about the prodigal son. What an amazing story that is. Would you think about this, folks? The prodigal came home. Would you let that sink into you? Hey, look, Let your mind go back. Let your mind go back through the years. Let your mind go back to the living crosses. Let your mind go back to the choir. Let your mind go back to the young people up here singing. Let your mind go back. Let your mind go back. Think about all of them. Think about all of them. Think about all the seniors that have walked across this platform and gotten a degree. Think about them. Thank God this prodigal came home. That's awesome, isn't it? I'm sure it was not easy for him. Right? I'm sure it was the hardest thing he ever had to do, but he did it. With the smell of the world on him, that hog pen, with the smell of the world all over him, he came to himself and he said, "My father's servants have it better than me. I will arise and go to my father." And he did, and when he did, he was forgiven. Thank God for that. May someone here tonight just catch the echo of Esau's bitter cry and be persuaded to stop and reconsider the direction you're headed in before you cast away that which can never be reclaimed. Let me remind you that the Lord Jesus told the disciples, "Watch and pray." And when he said what he said to the sleeping disciples is so true of every one of us when he said, "For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So beware of the weak moment, Christian. Beware. Irreparable injury can be done to a life in such a moment. The best defense for such moments and such temptations is the companionship and personal walk that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if our faith and trust is in Him, if we are in His fellowship, then it will be us, with us as it was with that mighty warrior, the Apostle Paul, who said, when the grace of Christ was with him, he said, "When I was weak, then am I made strong." You got to walk with him, Christian, because there's a moment of weakness that every one of us has to watch out for.